Is a puffy taco a euphemism for something? I don't know.
That's not at all.
It's up to you. And then, of course, the classic Taco John's six-pack and a pound.
Yeah, that's right.
On Smasher Pass.
The problem is Taco John's are so, like, limited, right? Like, I think there's one in, like, Olathe out by Garmin. I don't know if there's one in Lawrence anymore on 23rd. And is there one out by you in Blue Springs at Taco John's? And there used to be one out there.
There used to be one on Woods Chapel right by my house. And now that it's not now there I anymore. Believe it is Poncho's, I believe. But yeah, it's not there. We used to always go there on our bikes, six pack and a pound, three tacos each, and half a pound of Olay's and six sides of cheese sauce.
Oh, you shared that? See, in college, that was just
I was like 12.
Yeah. So, I mean, 12-year-old Bobby would have housed that whole box of tacos himself.
I love that. So there's been a story going around. These young kids are finalists. The school's a finalist. The Crestridge Cougars, they're a finalist for this, and they get money. They get to update their stadium for crap sakes. Their track is a gravel pit. And this is something that is kind of really close to home to me. I went to school in Warrensburg for college. I live in Lee Summit. That's kind of like in the middle of the two. And we are now joined by their head coach of football, Jeremiah Bruxen. Coach, thanks for coming on the show today and trying to help spread this word. And I guess where we will start this thing is, you know, what's been the feedback that you guys have heard so far during this process that is going on with your school?
First of all, thank you guys for the coverage and helping us out and helping us push this message. We greatly appreciate it. You know, the feedback has been great so far. You know, the community is really rallying. You know, the kids are super excited. We've got a lot of energy and a lot of juice flowing right now is what I like to say. And so we're you know, everybody, you know, that's kind of a big deal around here. You know, we're a small farming rural community. And so, you know, we're kind of a team without a town. Right. And so we wouldn't be able to pool all the tax revenue that is needed for a project of this size, you know. And so we've just got outdated facilities. Do we have the worst facilities? Absolutely not. You know, we take pride in what we have, you know, we take care of it and whatnot. And so but the feedback so far has been really, really great. You know, so we're excited for the, you know, for the next couple of weeks to see if we can kind of catch these California schools.
So what are you guys going to do with the money? Lay it out all for us. If you get this $1 million grant, where's it earmarked for? What are you going to do? What's the first thing you're writing that check for?
Hopefully it would be, honestly, that would be up to the admin, of course. Right. But this would be something that, you know, could change these kids' lives in this community. We would hopefully be able to get a new football field. You know, we've got what I tell opposing coaches and people, you know, we've kind of got a humpback whale graveyard, about a 36 inch crown. Wow. To stand in the middle of our 50 yard line and go to the corner, it's about almost a 3 foot difference, right? And so it takes the term running downhill to a new level, right? And then you know, our track is just outdated. You know, it's chat gravel, right? You know, again, are there other schools that have facilities like this? Of course. We're not in a unique situation, but we are in a unique situation to where we have an opportunity to change it, right? You know, there were 1,700 schools that applied for this sweepstakes, this contest through T-Mobile and Rob Gronkowski. And so we're one of 16 national finalists. And so it's really kind of a big deal. We have won 31 grand so far. But, yeah, we would, you know, update the field, you know, hopefully be able to get a track, you know, a new field house. You know, the kids right now, like, we don't have any showers for the kids, you know, so we can't really do any morning practices if we need to and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just things like, you know, and then we talk about player safety and kids say, you know, like that's as a coach, that's the number one is player safety, right? Our number one concern is player safety, you know, and then we talk about character development, you know, and then we talk about winning football games, right? So if you can, you got to do those first two, you know, to be able to win games. And so I think it really comes down, you know, I love natural grass, but again, if, you know, our field needs to be leveled out, you know, if we could get turf, cool, but it's not a huge deal. But at the end of the day, we just need some upgrades. This used to be a farmland back in the 80s. Some local farmers literally made it a football field. They didn't even have lights for the first, I don't know, 8 years. They played on Saturday afternoons, and then a bunch of parents got together in like 1990, raised money for lights, which we still have those original lights from 1990, right? You know, and you know, the poles are all bent and a couple of them are out, you know, and here and there. And so, again, it's just one of those things where we, this community needs it, you know, they're very prideful. They show out for everything, you know, they support us. But it wouldn't just be the football program that, you know, would benefit. It would be the entire student body. You know, the cheerleaders sure. use it. The band uses it. We host flag and youth league, you know, so there's events going on five or six nights a week on the field, you know? And so, and again, having a track would just benefit our track program and then the community as well, because there's always people out there walking. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, again, if we're blessed and fortunate enough to get this grand prize, it would just be a game changer, 100%, just a game changer.
Well, I know you have a lot of people on your side, including us three here that do this show on 96.5 The Fan, and I saw on Twitter or on Instagram on Monday, we started talking about it, and there was, I think, 28,000 likes on Instagram. As I stare at my screen on my phone this morning, there are 32,100 likes, 14,700 shares. The word is getting out, and I figured, you know, with this ability, this platform, to get your kind of perspective, you know, you mentioned the field and how much bad shape it's in. You mentioned that it's not just for a football team, that it's for the student body, the school in the future, the kids in the future that want to play. How many times, though, honestly, and I know this is morbid, but how many times have you seen kids and athletes actually get severely hurt on that field because, like you said, it looks like there's a humpback whale buried underneath it?
You know, we've had a few different injuries. This is year two for me. I know there's been a couple in the past. You know, for us, it just comes down to, like, honestly, if you're on one side of the field as a coaching staff, like I happen to be 6'3", right? And so I can see to the other side. Mm-hmm. But when I legitimately say that, you know, you get cut off at the waist or at the midsection, I mean, you cannot see to the other side of the field.
Wow.
And so, it's kind of wild, man. Oh, and it really does make up for, you know, you're either running uphill. You know, if you got the ball in the middle of the field, depending on what side, I mean, you're literally running uphill or downhill. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it is what it is.
It's unfair, but, is what it is.
Yeah, you know, and so we, you know, we've had some kids, you know, now football's football. You're going to get, you know, it's a violent sport. You know, there's going to be injuries. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, again, if we can prevent that, you know, or try to do something to make it better, then why not, you know?
Yeah.
So we're getting there, man. I know that we're like third, I think, in the voting.
So that's all it is. It's a straight vote, right? That's all people have to do is go vote. They don't have to, you know, jump through hoops and all that kind of stuff. It's as easy as possible.
Just get on Instagram.
Just go to Instagram and do it. Okay. There's no website or anything like that for people who aren't on Instagram.
No, and so that's where I'm like, I'm not on it. My wife has actually been really pivotal on this. She's the one that showed it to me back in August and was like, hey, this is something that you should apply for. And I was kind of on the fence, you know, because, you know, I'm like, I think we'll be okay. Well, then I went ahead and applied for it. And then told the admin, I think my AD, Adam Odell, he also applied as well. And then I think really what happened is, I was kind of pushing it out there to get people excited and started. And then once we saw, you know, they do weekly drawings. So we got $1,000. Cool. Awesome. Cool. Well, then we, you know, a couple weeks later we won $5,000. So we're like, hey, this is awesome. Right. And so then that's, you know, when they announced that we were one of the $25,000 winners, which made us a grand prize finalist. I think that's when everybody kind of realized, like, hey, this is real. This is tangible. This isn't just some gimmick on social media or, you know, something, you know, for free marketing for T-Mobile. Like, this is something that they're really trying to do. And so all of a sudden, man, what we saw was just phenomenal outpouring of support. This community is really rallying. And that's honestly, to me, that's what, you know, high school football is about. But just high school in general, right? High school sports is, you know, rallying that community and that sense of togetherness. And, you know, it's been great, man. The support has been phenomenal. And I think people are excited about it. Just getting, getting the coverage and letting people know, like, hey, this is here. This school's right down there. Because people drive by it all the time. You know, we're right off of 50 Highway. Mm-hmm. And I think some people, you know, it's a blip on the radar, right? Some people don't really notice it. So it's one of those things, man, like it would just be, it would just pop right here off the highway. It would look really, really nice. And so
cool.
T-Mobile's been great. They came out last week. We had a big shebang and what do, and it's been better to get a, you know, a win on top of it. But, you know, we're getting the coverage and we're getting the word out there, and the kids are starting to get really, really excited.
That's awesome, man. Well, good luck through all this. And again, just go to Instagram and people can vote and get you guys this grant.
Yeah, what it is, just go to the Crystal Cougar Instagram.
Okay.
It's there's a pinned video in the top left corner. It's the only pinned video I think it is. And you just click on it. It's our kind of like little backstory video. You just like it and share it. And then, like I said, every like counts as a vote. And, you know, we're trying to be honest, to be at a small school like we are and where we are, to be even competing with these California schools is huge, right? And so that's what I've been trying to tell people. I'm like, guys, just keep it going, because eventually they're going to fizzle off and we're just going to keep going, keep our momentum. So that's where we're at right now.
Coach Jeremiah Bruxton, when is the next football game?
We play this Friday at Salisbury, so we got about a 2-hour trip.
Oh, my.
Northeast. It's going to be a hike, and you know, they're
state-ranked. You need a team plane, my really friend.
And so they got a good football team, and you know, we're kind of young this year, you know, and you know, been kind of beat up, fighting the injury bug like everybody else. But you know, we're looking to go out and compete this Friday and kind of shock the world.
Any home games left on that field?
Yep, we've got one more game. October 25th, we'll be at home playing Windsor for senior night.
Oh, there you go. Well, you have a text on our text line that says, tell Coach that the teams from Windsor are rooting for you guys as well. The Windsor Hounds support the team, even though they're rivals. So
there you go. That's cool.
Yeah,
get everybody involved, right?
Outpouring. Yeah, we've been getting great support from all of our neighbors, man. I live in Sedalia, Missouri, and so which is 30 minutes down the road, and so we, you know, me and my wife and I, you know, she's been networking. I was on the radio down there yesterday a couple times, and we're getting great support from there. David Goodson from Impact Signs has really been helping us out as well. And so we're just kind of – we're networking it, and we are working it. You know what I mean? You know, and
oh,
so
God,
we are we're putting it all out there, that's for sure.
But good luck with that. I hope you guys win this thing. You're in third place right now, man. I bet you're going to get a lot of votes after today.
That's right.
Well, we really appreciate it. And like I said, once we get Mahomes and Kelsey and Taylor Swift Nation, boy, we're going to be on.
That's right. That's right.
And so we got flyers to put in the suites this weekend, you know, and so my wife's got some networks up there. So we are working it, you know, and because that is one thing. Aaron Rodgers promoted this one school out in California, and man, when he did, you know, their likes went up, you know, I think like 10 grand overnight.
Wow.
So I told her, I just kind of laughed. I said, you just wait till old Patty Cakes and Travis and Taylor start liking our stuff. I said, we're going to explode, guys.
That's right.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And
Taylor
so,
likes this thing. You guys are going to win. She may write the check for you herself, you know.
100%, right? So,
that's right.
Like I said, man, we appreciate all the coverage. And we're actually going to be up on the news tomorrow morning on KCTV5 on their morning show.
Nice.
And so we're going to, I think myself, Mrs. Emily Russell, who's our business teacher, she has been her and my wife have been pivotal with like, you know, kind of brainstorming. You know, they're the think tank. There's a group of moms and people that are all in it. They're the think tank, you know, getting all these ideas out there. So we're taking some football players and some cheerleaders and stuff up there tomorrow morning. And, you know, hopefully, again, try to get this message pushed out and, you know, reach as many people as we can.
That's right. No doubt. Head coach of the Crestridge Cougars. Again, you can find it at Crestridge Cougar on Instagram. Like it. They have 32,100 votes right now, or likes right now. Keep it going. So, Coach, we thank you again very much.
Thank you so much for the time. You guys have a great morning and stay blessed.
You bet.
You too.
Thank you. That's the Crestridge Cougar head football coach. Went a little late, but that's okay because you do it for a good cause. Coming up on the other side. Who do you hate more? We'll explain on the other side. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Appreciate the time from Coach Jeremiah Bruxton over there at the Crestridge Cougars. Again, if you have Instagram, your wife, your kids, whoever, go get in contact with them. Tell them to go to Crestridge Cougar. like their page and get them the support that they need, because they will gladly appreciate it. Third in the
third is pretty cool. Plus, keep the votes coming, right?
If you need any fuel to the fire to help them win, Aaron Rodgers is supporting another school in California.
So we need to get behind our school and not let Aaron Rodgers. Well, he doesn't win on the field, so. You know.
Yeah, just have everybody tweet at Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. Eventually they'll get the memo.
Right.
And they'll say, oh, okay, let me go check this out. Boom. And then it's over.
And it's done.
I would assume then it's over. Because they have a lot of pull in this city.
Just like, and not just in this city, though. Like, Swifties all over the world will be voting for this.
They stole the show in New York.
Yeah. I mean, this is unbelievable. Like, it's like everybody's doing their thing, and, you know, all right, as long as we don't have to play the Chiefs, and then here come the Chiefs, and they show up. Mm. And it's kind of like this. All these other schools are voting. Oh, here comes Travis and Taylor and Patrick, potentially, to save the day and to get Crestwood the votes needed. Because if they come out and say, vote for Crestwood, it's going to be a runaway. It's going to be the highest vote anybody's ever seen.
That's right. And now we are joined by our very own Nate Taylor of The Athletic, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
That's right. It sounds like he's coming straight out of a Tony Hawk video game from 1999 on PlayStation 1. Hey, Don. I think we all had that. Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Nate, I want to start this off because the NFL is weird. Obviously, you know that. And I was in the press box with one Steven Serta at the time that this happened. I want to know where you were when Mahomes played the 49ers for the first time and made that play to Chris Conley in the corner of the end zone. And everyone in the press box stood up and went, oh, no. And like they knew the arrival was there. I want to know where Nate Taylor was when Mahomes made that throw.
What a great memory. Yeah, thanks for having me on, as always, fellas. I was in the press box. I was in the second level. A quick backstory. I had decided before the game, and you can look this up on The Athletic, even though it's been, you know, I guess 6 years ago. I actually went out to the parking lot. I went through tailgate after tailgate after tailgate, and I interviewed people who wore a Patrick Mahomes jersey to that particular game, because some people might forget that was the first home game of his career.
That's right.
In 2017, he plays the season finale in Denver. He starts the season in 2018 in California against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And then I like to remind people, in week two against the Steelers, and the Steelers were still the Steelers back then.
They were, yeah.
He threw 6 touchdowns, 5 incompletions. So,
I didn't realize that.
Yes. So he had more touchdowns than incompletions. So I interviewed, again, like 5 to 8 fans who were all in Patrick Mahomes jerseys, even though they had never seen him play in person at the NFL level. And then, of course, as I'm transcribing those interviews, as I'm putting that story together about, you know, essentially the football messiah arriving to the promised land of Arrowhead Stadium, he does that freaking play.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I just laughed. I literally laughed in the press box. Now, for the audience, you're not supposed to cheer. You're not supposed to really be loud. You're not supposed to shout or laugh, for that matter. Sorry, kids. I broke all 4 of those rules.
I think everybody did, though, that day, Nate, because I was up in the press box that day, too. And I remember, like I haven't been up there since COVID, right? And so, but I just remember being at those games where Patrick Mahomes was doing the Patrick Mahomes stuff early. Everybody was reacting. Everybody was going crazy, you know, in those games, especially the comeback against Houston when he was doing what he was doing. Like, it's okay to have natural human reactions when you see stuff you've never seen before.
Right. And again, you know, my memory always goes back to 4th and 9, right? Where it's later in the season. You know, the MVP race is essentially a 2-man race at that point between Patrick and Drew Brees at the time. And it was like, hey, man, the Baltimore Ravens put up a pretty good game plan and it's 4th and 9. And like, do you want the 1 seed? And then, of course, he scrambles to his right and throws across his body, does everything you're not supposed to do, and hits Tyreek Hill in the middle of the field. And so, like, yeah, that season, even though it didn't end the way, you know, the Chiefs wanted, the way their fans, you know, hoped it would, there are so many memories from that season that I will never forget. But really, one of the first ones was that, you know, scramble. What is he doing? Oh my God, he's throwing the ball. And you could tell when he was like loading up that he was not throwing the ball out of the back of the end zone, right? Or like, hey, we're just going to settle for a field goal here. From the press box, it is basically live version of all 22. So you could kind of see Chris Connolly, but you're like, there's no way he's splitting two defenders. Oh my God, he split two defenders.
Yeah,
the ball.
Right. Yeah. It was so unbelievably awesome to watch that. And now here we sit, and he's still doing it with, you know, his top two wide receivers hurt. People saying Kelsey's washed, his number one running back is down. and he still does it. I mean, I think what he's doing today may be more remarkable than what he's done in the past, you know?
Yeah, you might read something about that here in the next week or two in The Athletic. Just the idea that, hey, it's not 2018 anymore. It's not 2019. It was one point in time where, hey, man, we were there. You know, I wasn't there physically. Like, it was mostly my father. But, like, you know, my father showed me, you know, Star Wars, A New Hope. And it's just like, man, those X-Wings are awesome. And that is essentially what Patrick Mahomes was in 2018, 2019. You are Luke Skywalker in an X-Wing, and dude, no one's been a better pilot than you this early in your career. And basically, he's now piloting a Millennium Falcon. Still good, can still get the job done, but it's not sleek, it's not fast, it's not like, you know, it's got a lot of maintenance issues because of the skill position injuries. The offensive line isn't as great as it was back in the day. Hey, man, you know, it's hilarious. We had to ask Andy Reid as a collective group of reporters yesterday, is Wanya Morris the starter? Guys, it's week 7. What are we doing? Like, you know, so right. for all the things that has changed surrounding Patrick and the fact that he's not operating something that is at full power, he is still, despite having 6 interceptions, 6 touchdowns, found a way to keep his team undefeated. And there is a credit to that from a mental acuity standpoint and just the fact that he's always had a moxie for rising to the occasion when a game is sort of in the balance.
Nate, we look at this game, and you, Bob, kind of alluded to it, where it's, you know, it's not the same Chiefs team from 18 and 19 with the offensive explosion. I did some numbers over the evening. San Francisco third in points scored, second in passing yards in the league, third in rushing yards. When you look at Kansas City's defense, they're 5th in rushing yards allowed, 7th in total yards allowed, 6th in points. Something has to give in this game. Maybe goes underviewed or not liked as much, but that front four for the Kansas City Chiefs defensive line could be a big problem against San Francisco in this game, missing their top two running backs.
Yes. It's a great point. And, you know, I'm not sure if Mike Dana is going to play in this game just because he's dealing with a pectoral injury.
Yeah, that's tough. Those are hard to come back from.
Yes. He was already dealing with the calf before then. So now you're going to be looking at a little bit more of Felix and Adike Uzama. Of course, I think the Chiefs are going to use Leo Chenal in that sort of, hey, hybrid role of you could be a defensive lineman and just try to, you know, blow up a tackle or a guard to help, you know, Nick Bolton have an easier path towards the running back if that happens. And, of course, you know, it would be helpful if the Chiefs, you know, got up by, like, a couple scores so that more of the pressure is on Brock Purdy to drop back in a traditional manner that's not built on bootlegs, play action, and obviously having the threat of the run set up the pass sort of over the top of the defense. So, I think this is going to be a really fun game. I'm interested to see what Chris Jones does, fellas, because against the 49ers, he's had a lot of success rushing from the edge, more so than even the interior at times. And so if you don't have Mike Dana, maybe the solution is, hey, Tershawn Wharton's playing well. Mike Pinnell's playing really well as a run stuffer. Maybe you can allow those guys to work from the interior, and you can allow Chris to kind of be on the edge so that he has maybe more one-on-one matchups against, you know, a right tackle or a tight end. But I get the sense that this is sustainable for the Chiefs defense. The fact that they have stopped some of the top running backs so far this season, whether that's Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, or Bijan Robinson. If we don't see Christian McCaffrey, which is probably going to be the case, then yeah, make the game be about Brock Purdy beating you versus, you know, him having the ability to use play action to his to his sort of weapon that Kyle Shanahan is so good at, you know, sort of manipulating the defense.
Nate Taylor, let's talk a little gossip because that's what we like to do. What do you think the Chiefs are going to do if they do anything for the wide receiver position? I know a lot of fans got a little antsy this week when some named players got traded. I liken it to going into a bar at 3 a.m. The Jets and the Bills are desperate. They'll take anything that's available, and the Chiefs are kind of just waiting for the right one, right?
Yeah, sure. Or the Chiefs are like, we can come back to the bar next weekend because, you know, we're 5-0. We're living okay. We're living just fine. Now, I do think the Bills were instructed just because they don't have a Travis Kelce on their roster. They don't have even really a Juju Smith-Schuster in terms of reliability for Josh Allen. Josh Allen had to be, again, a superhero on Monday night against the New York Jets. So it's understandable why they would be the first team to sort of jump out there. And then it really wasn't a secret that Davante Adams was going to the Jets. Once it became clear that the Saints weren't as interested in terms of whatever the trade compensation was going to be for Davante Adams. So, yeah, those two teams jump out. Now you have a baseline of what to expect from, hey, if we make a trade, is it going to be a third-round pick? Is it going to be a fourth-round pick? Obviously, you're not going to go towards a second or a first-rounder. So the Chiefs can come back after this game against the 49ers and say, okay, we have another sort of sample size to assess our own receiving group. What receiver can help us sort of complement Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster? Is that a Deontay Johnson? Is that a Darius Slater? Those are some of the players that you could think about. If I have to say right now, I do think the Chiefs will make a trade for a receiver because obviously they've done it with, you know, Kadarius Toney, with Mecole Hardman, and they're trying to go for a three-peat. And if you don't think Rashee Rice is coming back for the regular season, and if you're not sure you're going to get Hollywood Brown before the playoffs, you need half of the season to get somebody else who's a veteran, who's capable through the offense so that you can be as potent as possible when obviously the competition gets much better for the postseason run. So as of right now, you kind of understand that the Chiefs have two third-round picks. You can use one of them. Obviously, whoever they're trading with is going to want the higher of the third-round pick, which likely is the Tennessee Titans, the one you got from the LeJarius Sneed trade. But I would tell Chiefs fans, hey, you have 2 weeks to go back to the bar, identify the wide receiver you want, and then you have the ultimate chip, which is, hey, we will give you a third-round pick, or we can do a pick swap if you want for the services of that particular receiver.
Who is that guy going to be?
That's where it gets fascinating because I know Tutu Atwell could be available, right? I know some people are saying, well, how about DeMarcus Robinson? You know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling just entered the bar, and he wasn't even, like, available, you know, but he's available now. You know, you don't have to trade for him, of course. I think if I had to make a pick right now, it's probably Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton wants a new team. Obviously, the Giants and the Chiefs have traded before with Kadarius Toney. Darius Slayton is not Kadarius Toney in terms of talent or personality, but he is solid. He is reliable, and you would think his production will improve going from Daniel Jones to Patrick Mahomes. I just think in terms of an X receiver, someone who's big but can obviously get yards after the catch, not the best speedster, but something that you don't have to give up a ton of draft capital for. I think if you could give a fourth rounder to the Giants right now for Darius Slayton, they'd probably say sure. So I think there's a higher possibility that Darius Slayton is the target. And I think Carolina, despite them being Carolina, kind of wants to hold on as much as possible because they're in a terrible situation with Bryce Young. And they need to show some commitment to their fans. So you're going to have to maybe overpay for Deontay Johnson because he has another year left on his contract as well.
Nate Taylor, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game this Sunday. It is in San Fran. I'm assuming that you will be there.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You know it.
Well, have a good, safe flight. And thanks for joining us here today on our show that we call Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
Thank you as always, fellas. Hey, by the way, Tony Hawk video game, classic. Love it.
Great soundtrack.
God, I want to play it right now.
Great soundtrack.
Do it. Nothing's stopping you.
Well. All right, fellas.
Take care. Nate Taylor there, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Coming up on the other side, I think this guy is oblivious to the New York media. I know Bob isn't, and he'll help this guy describe exactly what he's not going to have happen to him that he doesn't think will have happen. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you on a Thursday. Thanks to all of you listening. Thanks for all of you enjoying this program. We appreciate you more than you would absolutely know. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens here on a Thursday once again to remind you the Chiefs play at 325 on this very station. You can hear Kling, Danan, Mitch, all that as the Chiefs radio network pregame starts on this station.
Yesterday it started, I think. It's on the secondary channel, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's officially time to dive into the game. But before we do that, there is somebody who I really do root for because I think they are absolutely talented. I think they got the short end of the stick at their previous team, but it's kind of two sides' faults, right? Saquon Barkley is who we're talking about, which drafted is a good running back, but then never really got a line to support him, nor Daniel Jones.
Or a quarterback, or I mean, like anything, right. Yeah.
And I think Saquon Barkley is a little bit in denial here. And what I mean by that is he came out and spoke, and he said, maybe I'm naive, but I think it's over. That chapter's closed. I truly don't care no more. I'm pretty sure fans don't care no more, and I don't think I'll get booed.
They're playing the Giants this weekend in the Meadowlands, right? Philadelphia and the Giants.
That's right.
Saquon Barkley going back for the first time. I hate to break it to you. For any athlete that leaves place A and goes to place B, the book isn't closed until you go back to place A,
yeah.
Right? And so he's going to have to go back to the Meadowlands every year and play a game against the Giants. But will he get booed? Yeah, I'm sure he will. It won't be like going back to Yankee Stadium and getting booed. You know, the Giants fans are a little bit older and more reserved. But look, they're still going to boo the hell out of Saquon Barkley because he left. Like, you feel like a jilted lover, you know?
If you texted your dad right now,
yeah,
and was like, will Saquon get booed on Sunday? He would immediately say, of course.
Yeah, probably.
Not yes,
yeah.
Not probably, just.
He's going to get booed on Sunday because not only did he leave, he left for your best friend. essentially is what it is, right?
He married the single wife next door, the single lady next door.
Yeah.
And just moved in.
Right. Like I'll just do a quick example. Like eighth grade dating right now is like they all have a friend group and everybody's like, and my wife keeps saying, you're just dating your friends. What are we doing here? Right? Get out of your friend group. That's kind of what like Saquon Barkley's doing. He's moving from the Giants to the Eagles. They're all kind of in that friend group together.
Yeah.
And now he went and now he's dating your best friend. And you're like, wait a second here. I was dating him last week and now you're dating him. Are we still friends? No, you're not friends anymore. He moved on to Philadelphia and that's great. You took the money and you run and, you know, it's probably a smart move for the Giants not to re-sign him because that's an organization in disarray. But to think you're not going to be moved and it's all water under the bridge, it just doesn't work that way, right? Like it just does not work that way.
People never forget.
I mean, people are going to be booing here in Kansas City, Robinson Cano, Jazz Chisholm, to the day is long, right? And Tony Gonzalez has kind of made his bed back in Kansas City and everybody likes him
and
again.
Fortunate enough for him, he doesn't have to play.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like, you're not booing a broadcaster. Right. If you are, then I mean,
well, God love you, right?
Yeah, you got some plums, man.
Yeah. But that's just life. Like you leave team A and go to team B and team B comes back and plays you. Yeah, you're going to get booed. I mean, to think that you're not going to get booed is just ridiculous.
Mac, you're kind of the more stable one. We're over here just always, you know, running on just adrenaline. You think he gets booed?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. See,
yeah. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
Doesn't think he gets booed other than him, right?
Yeah, other than him. It's kind of sad. It's a little ignorant of him. I mean, he's just like, yeah, you know, I think it's over. The chapter's closed. I truly don't care anymore, and I'm pretty sure fans don't care anymore. Dude, the fans still care.
The fans will always care.
If he sucked, he may not get booed, but he would still
get
booed.
Like that first play, he's going to get a handoff, and let's say the Giants have a good defensive line. They stop him in the backfield. There's going to be extra cheers, right? It's going to be like extra cheers. It's kind of what you do, right?
Which is basically the condescending way of booing.
Yeah.
Like,
he'll get the handoff, it'll be boo. Yay!
way. You know,
We were all there when Jazz Chisholm played on Thursday night at the K, and he thought he got a walk and threw his bat down, then struck out the next pitch.
That was so good.
Everyone was that was a louder cheer than Salvador Perez got.
No doubt. Yeah. It really was.
It was.
No question. Yeah. Salvi got the big cheer on Wednesday, and then Jazz Thursday night. Yeah.
So which brings up the question is 913-586-7965. Who is someone that you will always boo, whether it be the K or whether it be Arrowhead? Bob, who's one of those?
Well, back in the day, it was like Johnny Damon. People would boo Johnny Damon all the time when he came back to Kansas City.
He said he wouldn't leave.
Yeah, well, the players should never say that because they're all leaving. They're all taking the check. For me, I've got three people on it. Les Miles, who totally would stole money from KU. Tyreek Hill, who sucks. And Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield makes the list of people you're going to boo because the way that he left here was just not copacetic. Man, it really, you'd get the vaccine and go to Canada if your team was better. Like, that was just a slap in the face of everybody in Kansas City.
Traded to the Blue Jays.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Then they got traded to the Blue Jays. How about that, Whit? So, just the way he handled his exit here, he was always kind of just bitter about things. You know, you liked him, you rooted for him. But he always had that little bitter edge to him. And then he said that right before they traded. And I'm like, all right, you're gone. I boo him.
The three I will bring up is Chisholm will always get booed.
Yeah, he's made his bed now. Yeah.
Cano always got booed ever since he would come back to Kansas City. He always got booed no matter what. Every Cincinnati player, for sure. I mean, everybody for the Bengals will always, you know, I hate to say it. We live rent-free in their head. They live rent-free in our head. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Talk to Alex Gold about Cincinnati. Just go to Alex Gold and say, I think Cincinnati could make the playoffs. He will go on a five-minute rant and tell you why you're out of your mind, why Cincinnati can't do anything, why the Chiefs have a Super Bowl. They don't. That's rent-free.
Yeah, it is.
In a roundabout way, that's rent-free.
Absolutely. And that's okay. That's what makes it part of the rivalry.
It's
like
fun.
And I'll be honest, after being at that game, you know, with my daughter and the Bengals fans talking trash to a 14-year-old kid, F them.
Yeah.
They suck.
That's a KMA right there.
Yeah, I hate them the most, for sure, in the league. Joe Burrow's on my list.
Rent-free.
Yeah.
It's
It is. They are.
Right?
Oh, I would admit that.
Right? It's rent-free. Jose Ramirez.
Why?
Because he's so damn good against Royals.
I love watching that guy play.
But he beats our ass, dude. Left side, right side, no matter where he plays, third base. The guy looks like he should be at Whataburger 24/7, but he hits cranks and plays great defense.
And steals bases.
And he plays for the damn Guardians.
Yeah, he's one of the best players in baseball,
it sucks,
man.
Dude.
God, he's so good.
So I boo him.
All right.
Until he's a Royal, which will never happen.
But you got to admit, you have fun watching that guy.
I do forget there is an announcer that probably would get booed by Chiefs fans, Mike Florio. You would find your way down to go and start booing him.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while, they will have him in stadium doing like a report during the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if he's there, I would make my way down and I would heckle Florio.
Well, he's advocating to hurt Patrick Mahomes.
He's also advocating for Reed to retire.
Right, exactly.
Who then signed an extension.
Yeah.
So when Mahomes wins the three-peat, I just really think it's time for Mahomes to hang it up. Mackenstein, you got some?
Gosh, I just had a good one that I can't remember. Yeah, I had Joe Burrow. I had Will Compton on the list just because he's a Chiefs trash talker. He's never done anything. Yeah, the guy sucks. He's just an idiot. I was trying to think. Just slipped my mind. There was a player that I was wondering. Oh, yeah. I think I'd boo this player if he came to Kansas City, but I think it would be like a boo of admiration. I'd be clapping while I boo Philip Rivers.
No, you don't clap for Philip.
Okay.
Not sure he waved goodbye.
Yeah.
Sirianni.
Yeah, Sirianni gets booed. Yeah, even though his wife's from Kansas
City. Tyreek Hill will always get booed.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyreek Hill will always get booed, right? Yeah.
Because of the way he left.
Because of the way he left.
Yeah.
And the way he talked trash for like a year and a half on the organization.
Yeah, the way
they realized, wait a second here, if I keep talking trash, I may never get a chance to go back and be in that ring of fame. And
913 says Josh Donaldson was always fun to boo.
Yeah, for a hot minute. Then the Royals petered out and really nobody cared anymore.
The three from the 785, Marcus Peters, Ja'Marr Chase, Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
The good thing is you may never see three of those people in Kansas City ever again.
Say the names again. Marcus Peters, he's not playing.
Nope.
Nick Sirianni, probably not going to be coaching much longer.
And then Ja'Marr Chase. Unless they give him the bag.
Yeah.
Which they are.
The Bengals, you mean, or the Chiefs?
Yeah, oh, God. Wouldn't that be a plot twist?
What? Bull. I almost said it.
I don't. Yeah.
Bull.
No, not bull.
If Ja'Marr Chase signs here on March 18th,
I'm good.
You're going to be running down Metcalf with no pants on. And you know it.
You're going to run like Chris Jones in the 40-yard dash.
You might be right about the no pants thing, but I wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't like it.
No,
we hate players until they're ours.
No, he's a D.
He is.
He's like
part could be ours,
but we don't have D's on our team. Like the drama, you know, creating.
Yeah, you're right.
That's not the culture, man.
You're right.
Let's see here. Somebody says I'm booing Tony Gonzalez on the street. F Tony Gonzalez.
You're mad at Tony though because he was right and saw the writing on the wall before anybody else realized it. You know.
I wouldn't boo Tony. Maybe I'm in the minority.
But when you come out and you talk about how great a Falcon you were, and you're like, wait a second here,
That was
like,
that was garbage.
And now the Chiefs are winning. It's like, I never played for Atlanta.
From the 816, I always boo Dusty.
Wow.
The hell did I do to you?
That sucks.
I'm out here stealing people's girls. Somebody says Lance McCullers Jr. was a fun one to boo.
Good one. Yeah.
Someone says Neil Smith. Because how he left and won two Super Bowls with Denver.
Yeah, but he's kind of made good back in Kansas City, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he lives here again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask that. Yeah.
Copeland's isn't open anymore, but he still lives here.
Yeah. Someone says they would always boo John Gruden after the bus ride around the stadium.
Yeah, that guy's a heel.
But he was, they say he was greeted with good graces during training camp.
Of course, because Andy's his friend, you know? Yeah, so what if they hired Gruden to be on staff? Would you, I mean, you're not booing assistant
coach. This is a good one. This one happens a lot. Carlos Correa does always get booed now that he's with the Twins.
Of course, I mean, he's a cheater, you know, caught cheater. Everybody cheats, but he got caught, so.
Jose Altuve as well.
Yep, Altuve.
That's right. I don't know. 9 o'clock hour on the other side. We get back into what Nate Taylor said on the additions and who. As he joined us earlier today here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.